Hello, everyone. This is Gary Naylor. Time and time again, I have said that we must know the ways of Yahweh God if we're going to know what He is doing. It says concerning Moses, he knew his ways, and the sons of Israel knew his acts. And frankly, man for 2,000 years and even 6,000 years has known the acts of God and not his ways. It's very interesting that the number 6 is the number of man. And how long have we been in this walk on this earth? We have been on this earth for basically 6,000 years. Does that tell you anything? It tells you that this period has been the period of mankind, and that in his earthly flesh given to us by Satan body. Now, take that and come away with success. And I've got some land in Florida I'd like to sell you. Folks, 6,000 years of man is nothing less than what one would expect in these bodies with Satan ruling over it. It has been failure. And it is only now that we can have the hope that Yahweh is getting ready to deliver us from these earthly bodies and from Satan. You know, keep in mind, there at that cemetery, Legion, which means 6,000, only got a right to the next 2,000 years. Those 2,000 swine went to the sea of death. And that's what's been happening for 2,000 years. In reality, men have been dying, given to Satan, who, according to Hebrews, has the power of death. We're going to talk about one of the ways of God. Now, there are many ways of God. I say many. There are several. Let's put it that way. For example, there's the passing over principle. He passes over the first. He passes over the second. He takes the third. It's just one of his ways. In a similar manner, there is the Trinity. It's three parts. But in this case, two are alike and the third is different. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are many fulfillments of this Trinity pattern. Here's another way of Yahweh God, and that is male-female. Ooh, boy. Now we're talking about something highly, highly, highly relevant. Male-female. It's with God. There's God, and then there's man. That's male-female. There's even Yahweh and Satan. That's male-female as well. We find that Satan was or is the wife of Yahweh God. And then there's male-female in our relationships in the natural. And it has to function in the same way in which the Father and man function. And that is that the second part, the female part, always submits to the male part. And that's one of his ways. Another one is the first will be last and the last will be first. A very important way of Yahweh. But the one we're going to look at today is first the natural, then the spiritual. You're going to find that this is highly, highly impacting. It's quite interesting to me and encouraging that Yahweh dealt with me about this 3 weeks ago or so. And I wrote a note, but I forgot all about what I was considering. But a visit from a man recently who lives in Missouri, for the first time, he came by, introduced himself, spent the night, and we had a good talk. And during that visit, I kept turning to this matter of first the natural and then the spiritual. And let me explain that so that we can set forth the setting of what we will be talking about here. This man's name is Steve, and he is focused considerably on the feasts and keeping the law of, like, not eating unclean things and the feasts, and he uses the Hebrew names for them. And that really is his focus, these natural feasts. We ate together that evening, and I didn't realize this until afterwards. I had shrimp for our meal that night, and of course he would have never touched shrimp. I probably would have asked him about it if I'd thought about it, but he had a nice steak and I had my unclean shrimp. But I told him, "Brother," I said, "would you rather ride on the shadow of a horse or ride on the horse?" I said, "It's not pork that will make you unclean, but it's the teachings of swine Christianity. That will make you unclean." I don't think he understood, but you know, if people want to follow those laws, that's hunky-dory. It's just fine. Just realize they are not going to get you what you need. They're going to be a shadow, and you can walk in that shadow just like for a long time. The sons of Israel walked in the shadow of a Passover lamb. But what it looked forward to was the fulfillment in Yeshua. And so when Yeshua went to the cross, why offer any more Passover lambs? Because it's been fulfilled. And people can continue, but you better not count on that lamb being your salvation, because it's the spiritual fulfillment. So here we go. First, the natural, a natural lamb. Second, the spiritual, the true fulfillment that the lamb looked to. And in like manner, it's the laws of what you eat that in the natural are not going to be the fulfillment. So there's first the natural, don't eat pork. But the spiritual is don't eat the teachings of Christianity. They will take you to the sea of death. Are you understanding what I'm saying about this? This matter of first the natural, then the spiritual. This lays a good set of examples for you to understand and focus on what we're talking about in these two things of natural and spiritual. Now, let me continue in my conversation with this gentleman, Steve. We were spending our time together in the second week of March, and in the Hebrew law, Purim was coming up on the 10th and the 11th. And he has a very great dislike for natural Israel, the nation of Israel, and is convinced that it is an absolute corruption and that God is going to judge it. Now, I don't hold that position. And he believed that the Feast of Purim was a corrupted feast because it was not a part of the original ones, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. And he thought that on the 10th or the 11th, that God would judge the nation of Israel. And of course, people who think this way look for some kind of natural calamity, some kind of natural disaster. See, this is what Christians do. They think natural. They cannot get into the spiritual. And there's first the natural, then the spiritual, but they can't get out of the natural. They get hung in the natural. And so they think the Antichrist beast is going to show up in these last days, not realizing he's been here for 2,000 years. They think there's going to be natural wars, which I used to back in 1970s with Hal Lindsey. I was sucked right into all of that. They think there are going to be natural wars, and they're not going to be. This is a spiritual fulfillment. Do you understand? First the natural, then the spiritual. And you can say, well, yes, and so Israel's going to be bombed because... No, no. It's not going to be. So that morning we were talking about this, and I said, Steve, this is what Yahweh God is doing. He is going to fulfill good out of Purim. I said, you think about it. You got a woman, Esther, who is a type of the bride. You have Haman, which is a type of Satan. You got Mordecai, who is a type of the Elijah. You got King Ahasuerus, which is a type of Yahweh God. And you have two wine banquets. She asked for one, but when the one came, she asked for the second. And it's the two outpourings of the Holy Spirit, in which Satan was not revealed at the first one, but he will be revealed in the second one. And not only revealed, he will lose his life. Satan will be bound and thrown into bondage. And the Jews, their lives were preserved, and it is Haman, Satan, who is judged. And the Mordecai, the Elijah, is lifted up. I said, Steve, it's a positive thing. We can hope for something good. Folks, he couldn't get it. He was so focused on the natural. He's a dear guy. I enjoyed having him in my home. But he was so focused on the natural that he couldn't see the spiritual. We have to look for the spiritual fulfillment. And only now, today, can we actually see and expect the fulfillment thereof. I think it quite significant that this gentleman's name is Steve. And equally significant is Steve Jones, whom I've spoken of in a previous podcast, is a type of the first remnant to me. And you'd have to listen to that podcast, but he was very significant in preparing the way for my understanding of bride when in 1994 the Spirit came upon me. Steve Jones had been in my home. And there were things that I learned from him, but you have to go beyond that. The first remnant learned things. They walked with Yeshua. But let me assure you, they had weak eyes. They were a Leah. And it's not until us, the second remnant, the Rachel, who sees all things clearly, like the man whose eyes were healed, but it wasn't complete. He saw men as trees walking. What we have to do is receive the second touch, the second wine banquet, and see all things clearly. So I find it quite interesting that both of these men's names are Steve. Steve is a type of the first remnant. Stephen, in the time of the Bible, marked the end of the first remnant when he was stoned to death by those who laid their garments before Saul, Paul, who was a witness to all of this. Steve is not the fulfillment. The name Steve or Stephen refers to something that comes first but cannot fulfill that which has to happen. Do you understand that? This is critical to understanding what God is doing if you want to know his ways. Here again, the first is natural. Then comes the spiritual. First the natural, then the spiritual. It's interesting that Steve Jones actually has the same philosophy, or doctrine, if you would, that this other Steve had. They both look at Israel and think God's going to judge it. He's not going to in the manner that they think. It will never happen. There is a test of Carmel. And in this test, you have three parties. You had Elijah. You had the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. It is most significant Then in 1948, Christianity, who are the prophets of Baal, entered into the Latter Rain movement, as well as the establishment of the World Council of Churches, as well as Billy Graham beginning his open-air meetings. That was in 1948 with the Latter Rain movement that Christianity has had. Also in 1948, as Israel became a nation, they're the prophets of Asherah. But then there's Elijah, and in 1948, I was born. And so you have the Test of Carmel with these three things that happened in 1948, my birth, the beginning of the Latter Rain movement, and the establishment of Israel as a nation. Let me tell you something about the Test of Carmel. Elijah won the test. His offering ascended to God, which is what we have to have. But it was the prophets of Baal who were killed, not the prophets of Asherah. Folks, why kill all of the people over in the nation of Israel? They're not the fulfillment, but why kill them all? What does it prove? And so I turned to Steve when he was in my home and I explained many things and I said, brother, it's not the natural. You're focused wrong. It's not the natural that is the fulfillment. You're looking for something that's not going to happen. It's not the natural that is the fulfillment, and you need to look at the spiritual. It's not the nation's level that is the fulfillment. It is the kingdom of heaven level. Because the kingdom of heaven level is the, if you would, top level. And that is what has to be fulfilled. I'm reminded of Yeshua. Yeshua said concerning the temple, he said, tear it down, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. The Jews couldn't understand that at all. They're just like the two Steves. They were thinking natural, not spiritual. It's interesting, too, that they said, you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? It took us 46 years to build this temple. Well, guess what? In my life, 46 years brought me to 1994 when the Spirit came upon me and taught me bride truth. It's 2/23s. FYI, this year of 2017 will be my third 23rd. So we're hoping that this year, after 69 years for me, the Test of Carmel will be fulfilled. Totally in Yahweh's hands. Nothing we can do about it. Other than to look to Him and hope in Him that He's going to fulfill it. But these Steves, what they're looking for is never going to happen. Steve Jones wants an outpouring of the Spirit, the redemption of mankind. And we've got our own Test of Carmel right now because we're looking for an outpouring of the Spirit, the Latter Rain, coming May 31. And prior to our hope, May 12 through 14, Jones is having a meeting that was supposed to have been in Missouri at the Double Tree Inn. Double Tree are the two remnant brides, you know, the olive tree. And the theme of it is cleansing the heart of America. That's why they were going to meet at Joplin, Missouri, because it's the heart of America. But the Double Tree Inn could not fulfill their reservation, and they are now going to have it not in the heart of America anymore, but in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But either way, are they going to fulfill this? What they're looking for is a cleansing of the heart of America. Let me tell you what, folks. The prophets of Baal can do all they want to do with good intentions. But they're not going to have success. You know, they say that the sign of insanity is trying to keep doing the same things and expect a different result. They're not going to be successful. I don't blame them for trying. I've tried. But because they are the body of Christ, they will not succeed. The body of Christ is a 2,000-year work that if given a third 1,000 years, it would be, my God, why have you forsaken us? It would be 3,000 years of darkness. It would be 3,000 years in which the church denies Yeshua. They will utterly fail. It would be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. There is no way Christianity can be successful. Yahweh God must do a new thing. As it is written, the woman must encompass the man. You got a first remnant. You got the body of Christ. If you're going to encompass the man, what do you have to have on the other side of the body of Christ? If you're going to encompass the man, you have to have another female work. It is critical. Think, folks. This is the way of Yahweh. It is his government. And he has to do a new work. And the female encompass the male. It's the split parts of the covenant pattern that you see when God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham split the parts, and then God put old Abraham to sleep, if you would, and he walked between them. This whole pattern has to be completed, and Christianity is blind to government and to even understanding what God's doing. That is, unless you live in Africa, and for some reason, those folks over in Africa, they get it. Those pastors and bishops and people get it. They understand. And our hope is, as a 1.5-year work, which is the amount of time that this work has been in progress, going up to the May 31, it will be exactly 1.5 years. And it looks like Yahweh God has laid out the first remnant work of Africa. Now, let me point out something about that. Is Africa the fulfillment? No. As much as I'm grateful for what the Father's doing in Africa, as much as I'm grateful for what Yahweh God did with the first remnant, Africa is a first bird work. In Leviticus 14, it is not the fulfillment, but it makes possible the fulfillment. Let me lay out for you another example. I think this one will capture your understanding of this. Yeshua came to this earth, and he's laid his life down for us, and he made the way of salvation, and he even restored the kingdom of God through the Nazarite vow and gave it to man. Now, here's my question to you. Was that sufficient? As much as we're grateful for what the Father did, no. Folks, you don't understand. If Yahweh doesn't complete what he began 2,000 years ago and perform another work, we could go to eternity dying, going to the grave and never coming out. As important as that work was, it was a first bird work. It was a first remnant work. It was a natural work. He came as a man. He in that state cannot give us the spiritual kingdom that we need. It was a natural work. First the natural. What we have to have, I pray God opens your spiritual ears right now. What we have to have is now the spiritual. if Yeshua's coming is not fulfilled in the spiritual, folks, we're done for. His first work was inadequate. Someone's going to get offended at that word, and I used it specifically to get your attention because it is a reality. First, the natural. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you like to live in this earthly body for the rest of your life? How does that sound? No, you're not really interested, are you? How about a spiritual body? Now I got your attention. Get out of this flesh. No different, folks. Yeshua's work was a natural work. What has to come, what has to happen, is the spiritual work. It must come. There is a natural, and then there is the spiritual. This pattern is set forth in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read it for you. Verses 42 through 49. Paul is an incredible man. He saw incredible things. But keep in mind, he was also blind for 3 days. And the reasoning was because if Yahweh God does not do something and cut the day short from 3 to 2, the church would be blind for 3,000 years. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. By the way, if you haven't got this already, the dead are in natural bodies, okay? It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. Now, the body he's talking about here is our born from above body. It is sown in dishonor. Folks, the body you've got is dishonor. It is raised in glory. It'll be the glory of God. It is sown in weakness. I'm sure you've got that one figured out. It is raised in power. This is the body that we were destined to have from the beginning. But we have to first have the natural before the spiritual. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, Yeshua, became a life-giving spirit. Now, folks, he's gone away after he became a life-giving spirit, and nobody else has taken on that form yet. That's what we, the second remnant, are waiting for. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. This is what I kept talking with Steve about. Steve, it's not the natural. That's not the fulfillment. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. And we have to be born from above into an immortal, incorruptible body. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. We know that one all too well. And as is the heavenly, which Yeshua now possesses, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, here's the promise. We will also bear the image of the heavenly. That, folks, that is what we are pursuing right now. Christians, honestly, they're about a quarter of an inch deep in their understanding. They can easily look like they're walking on water. They do not have understanding. They think that you go to heaven by dying. You don't go to heaven and enter into an immortal, incorruptible body by dying. When you die, you go to sleep. They have a bogus trust in death. When Satan has the power of death, they're trusting in Satan to get them to heaven. Folks, there is one place for a person who dies, and that is sleep. They have no hope in the entering into this life that is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 15. The woman will encompass the man. The first remnant was the first bird, first the natural. We have to today be the spiritual, the second bird that ascends alive into heaven. If you don't get that, you are not understanding what is taking place in the kingdom of God, which is higher than this concentration on the natural. Forget Israel. Forget Christianity. Forget trying to trust in this body. Your focus had better be on getting out of this body, and you can only do so one way, and that is the same way Yeshua got out of his, and that is be born up into the clouds by the angels and brought before God. And as Yeshua stayed there 8 days, and afterwards he came back in that immortal, incorruptible body. Go look it up. It's in the book of John. He was there 8 days. People don't pay attention to that. It doesn't matter if they even paid attention to it, because they had absolutely no understanding of what it meant. It's the Nazarite vow. We have to be caught up by the angels into heaven. We have to be there for 15 days, just like Solomon's temple. What's a period of 15 days? There were 7 days of cleansing, and then 8 days, which would take you through tabernacles. And that's even an incredible thing, because there's a Bible contradiction, because on the one, there weren't 8 days of tabernacles. They didn't have the great eighth day. They actually went home on the great eighth day. But in the other one that testifies to the remnant, they went home after the eighth day. But Christians don't understand that either. If you want to understand this, then go read Ascending Alive at RemnantBride.com. I go into it, and you can find out everything that I've been telling you here concerning these 15 days. Very, very important. I looked down at my notes just then to make sure where I was. Here's one of the things I'll point out. The book of Ezekiel, the temple. Of course, Christians, they're natural thinkers. So what do you expect other than natural conclusions? And I had another man come and visit in my home, and he's convinced that that temple in Ezekiel is going to be literally built. It's kind of like Yeshua said, how much longer do I have to put up with you? No, it's not going to be a natural temple built in Israel. Yeshua is not going to go back to that place. It's Hagar. It's spiritual Babylon, whatever you want to call it. People get focusing on the natural and not the spiritual. Folks, when Yeshua comes back and we're going to be with him and we are all going to be in our born from above bodies, what do you need a temple for in the natural? That temple in Ezekiel, it has steps that go up to the altar. That's against God's law. And there is nothing in the holy place of the Holy of Holies but an old wooden altar. What do you want it for? Folks, people are natural thinkers. Why is it that people in Africa aren't? They get it. Well, they're a first remnant. They're preparing the way for us right now. They're the first bird. They're working, and you and those of Bride are supporting it financially. We are lifting up others higher than ourselves and giving our attention to them as a first remnant work. You say, boy, I'd love to have been a part of the first remnant. Well, I was. I was in Africa for 3 months, and you're helping build that first remnant work. Now, we don't need the continuation of that work per se, any more than the first remnant needed to be continued. What we have to have is the second bird work, And of course, we all have sinned alive. But in type, that work has to precede ours. And then we all ascend, the first remnant and the second remnant. Now, and of course, literally, the Africa work is a part of the second remnant. It's time for it. But they're setting forth a work which is a type of the first remnant, preparing the way, hopefully. These brothers, I tell you what, they lay their lives down. They are wholly, wholly dedicated. They, hopefully, and I do believe it's true, they are preparing the way for us by being a first remnant work. And if you want to see another natural testimony evidencing what will be fulfilled spiritually, I think all you have to do is look at Donald Trump. It's interesting. Donald John Trump. Donald means ruler of the world. That's Emmanuel, isn't it? It's interesting. Donald Trump's got a head of gold. He's a type of Yeshua. John, of course, his middle name is the Kingdom John. And Trump speaks of trumpets. And, of course, he defeated Hillary, who is a Jezebel. So his establishment at this time is really quite encouraging that this is getting ready to be the very thing that we have hope in. And that is that the way for the one who is the head of gold is going to be prepared by the bride. And concerning Yeshua and his work, you keep in mind, everything he did when he came to this earth was to prophesy concerning what was to come. Whether it be raising Lazarus from the dead, or the parables, being on the Mount of Transfiguration, he came as a first work. He came as a natural work. He came in a natural body. He came at the end of 4,000 years, and when there were still 2,000 years to come. Keep in mind, again, you get 6,000 years. Six is the number of man. We're talking about natural man. And so even though he gave us the kingdom, it's still in the natural realm. Yes, we have a spiritual kingdom. But we have it in natural bodies, and the outcome for us is to die like everybody else unless Yahweh cuts time short and we are caught up into heaven where we will receive our immortal, incorruptible bodies. We can do that now. It hasn't been legal for 6,000 years. We can do that now. Yeshua came and secured it for us. But he had to wait until the seventh day. He had to get out of these 6,000 years. He had to get out of that period in order to bring the spiritual to man. Everything prior to that was guaranteed to fail, especially when you got a devil who is the ruler and God of this world, and everything had been given to him. He said that. He took Yeshua up on a mountain. He said, look, all of this has been given to me. Folks, it's his. It's his property. Just like, you know, that last podcast I did about Job. Satan had the authority given to him by God, and God is the one who raised this whole matter of Job. So we've been locked into this period of time in which Satan rules, and everything goes to death. I hope you're understanding the significance of all of this and where we are in history. This is government, folks. This is bones. Only now is it even legal to enter into an immortal, incorruptible body. Only now is it legal for Satan to be put away. It's just that simple, folks. You know, I'm a simple guy. Very simple. What I believe and what I understand is amazing, and for many people, in their minds, it's quite complex. Before I did the podcast, I thought of a type that would evidence to you what I'm talking about. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would get in your car and hope that the starter would get you to the grocery store? You say, Gary, you must be joking. What are you talking about? The starter doesn't take the car to the grocery store. No, it doesn't. Did the first coming of Yeshua bring us into an immortal, incorruptible body? No, it didn't either. You see, the purpose of the starter is simply to start the motor. That's where we are today. It's with the motor that we get to where we need to be. So the first work, the first remnant, the first bird, whatever you want to say, is critical to getting the action going in the car. That's what we're looking at. Now, you know, to me, these natural people, like the two Steves that I was speaking of, where they looked at the natural, honestly, folks, they're sitting in a car and never turning on the key. They are not going to get where they need to be. They don't understand the government of God. They are not going to find the fulfillments that they desire because they have never understood how to turn on the key of David, if you would. Let's talk about that key. There are seven churches. There are only two churches in there that were not found to be guilty of some offense. That was Smyrna, the second one, and Philadelphia, the sixth. The second and the sixth. Folks, there are the two remnants. In Smyrna, they died. You go read it about Smyrna. They died. They were the first remnant. Philadelphia, we have the key of David. We can start our car. We can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. If you want to go to rentitbride.com and look up Key of David, there's a writing that addresses this whole matter of Key of David. But this is the analogy, folks. The starter turns on the motor if you have the key. That's where we are with Bride. Who is going to ascend alive? Will it be the two Steves who are looking for natural things? Now, we know that Steve Jones is looking for spiritual in the latter rain. I'm sure the other Steve would be too. But they're not going to get it through Christianity. The only way you're going to get it is to be a part of the Philadelphia church, the church that speaks of the second remnant. Would you allow me the time to read Revelation 3, 7 and following concerning Philadelphia? And I'll make some comments. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? Because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, and frankly, folks, synagogue of Satan's been going on for 2,000 years, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Here we go, the natural. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you because you have kept the word of my perseverance. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Let me tell you, we need testing. We need testing through the Elijah work that is a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. I am coming quickly. hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God, and he will not go out from it any more. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God. Folks, if you're a natural thinker, you think you're going to get written on. You know it's not natural, it's spiritual. The New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem from above. That is the mother we have to have. Jerusalem above into a spiritual body. The New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, we're talking about the natural versus the spiritual. We've talked about the Steves and how they are a part in type of the first remnant, and that wasn't sufficient. We have to have the spiritual fulfillment. What I want to do now is to look at more testimonies concerning the natural and the spiritual so that you can see how far this impacts our lives and what Yahweh God is doing. Again, we want to know the ways of Yahweh, and that is what we are learning now. Praise Yahweh for this. He is giving us eyes to see. The first Moses knew the ways of Yahweh. But there is a prophet who is coming who is like Moses, and I can guarantee you, the ways of Yahweh will be revealed. So again, the first is the natural, then the fulfilling spiritual. Now we've already seen here the difference between Smyrna and Philadelphia. Smyrna, they were to be faithful until death. But Philadelphia has the keys, and that is the second remnant work. That's the spiritual work. Again, we're going to parallel these now. Let me go through a list of them. How about the former rain? Is the former rain sufficient? No. What happened 2,000 years ago is not sufficient. We have to have the latter rain. The former rain may get the seeds to sprout, but you've got to bring the grain to fullness and to fruitfulness. That is what the latter rain will accomplish. First the natural, then the spiritual, and this one here will be the fulfillment of bringing forth the kingdom of God, and not just bringing forth the kingdom of God. But by receiving the latter rain, we receive the Sheman, and we bring forth, hear me, we bring forth Emmanuel back to this earth. That is what we have to have. Now, again, was the first coming of Yeshua sufficient? Hardly. Number one, he was too early. Number two, he left and left the church here under the headship of Satan. It was wonderful what we've received regarding the word of God, but it was only a beginning. And Paul, in Christianity, has not brought forth the kingdom either, not in what it has to be. So, no, the first coming of Yeshua is not sufficient. With the latter rain, we have to have the coming of Emmanuel as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Contrast that to what we've had for 2,000 years, and you can see the difference between the former and the latter. In like manner, I'll ask you, how about this earthly body? Would you like to stay in this earthly body for thousands and thousands of years? As for me, no way. This thing is a seed. This thing is a foreshadowing. This thing is something that can be redeemed and transformed into the body that I have to have, what we have to have. So first the natural, absolutely. A natural body, then the spiritual. Yes, a spiritual body that is born from above. Now, how about Africa? As wonderful as Africa is not sufficient. It'll be a year and a half work come May 31. But what we have is a work that goes worldwide with power that transforms all mankind. Africa is a wonderful seed being sown right now. And they look forward to the spread of this truth throughout the world. I am so excited about the impact of Bride Truth concerning Muslims. It gives great hope that Muslims throughout the world will see and believe and especially stop the violence that we see present in the Muslim world. Now, here's another one. You sow, you reap. You think a farmer is satisfied by going out and sowing his seed. Does he go home and say, well, job's done? No, that's only the beginning. First the natural, then the spiritual. You sow the seed. The spiritual is you bring forth fruitfulness. That's what we have to have today. 2,000 years of Christianity, is it sufficient? Oh, man, hardly. Unless you want a perpetual dead body of Christ that's afflicted by the devil. It's hardly sufficient. All the error and blindness that it has, Christianity is not sufficient. They will have another opportunity on the other side of the millennial reign, 2,000 years. You can go look that up on the website. But Christianity is not sufficient. It is a work of death and blindness. Isn't that what a seed is in the ground? Isn't it blind and dead? You better be certain it is. That's what Christianity is. A bunch of dead bodies in the grave waiting to bring forth fruitfulness in the time yet before us. Okay. How about female, male? You say, well, why didn't you say male, female? No, because the female work comes first. It's not sufficient. The reason the female work is not sufficient is because they do not have the right to govern, the right to rule. It's first the natural. You're talking about the female work. Next is the spiritual. The man has the right for priesthood, not the female. That's why Paul said a woman cannot teach or exercise the authority of a man. It's like Yeshua, of course. Yeshua, first time he came, it was in a female role. When he came the first time, he did not come to be served. He came to serve. This serving that he performed is a female role. That's in contrast to ruling. The man has the right to rule, to govern. The woman is a servant, and she's to bring forth offspring. Now, that's all confused in today's society, but that shows you how upside down everything is in this world. But Yeshua came first in a female role as a servant. But he will come again in a male role, and that is to rule. So again, Yeshua set forth the same pattern, which we identify as first the natural, then the spiritual. And that's certainly going to be true when he comes back in his spiritual body. Now, another one, of course, is the first remnant. They were a natural work. Their outcome would be a natural product. We, as the second remnant, with the resurrection of the first remnant, will effect that which they sowed the seed for, where we enter into an immortal, incorruptible body. So the first remnant looks to the fulfillment of the second remnant in order that they too can enter into immortality. We are that second work. How about Leah and Rachel? Isn't that what we're talking about? Leah had weak eyes. The first remnant didn't understand what was going on and what would happen. And it's the Rachel who was actually supposed to be the first bride. Jacob labored for her first. And he thought he was going to get her, but he got the Leah. The church would think that the first remnant was an essential part, or even Christianity is, but Christianity is nothing more than the breach that separates the two. What we have to have is the Rachel work. That's the beloved wife. That would be the second remnant. And let's get back to our Stephens. The original Stephen in the book of Acts died. He marked the end of that first remnant work. These two Stephens that I've spoken of in this podcast are natural. First, the natural. They're natural thinkers. They're part of Christianity. They don't understand the two-part remnant. If you don't understand the two-part remnant, folks, you're sunk. If there's not a second remnant, it is, my God, why have you forsaken us? No. The second work has to occur in which the latter rain produces a second female work overshadowed by the Spirit in order to bring forth Emmanuel. Now, have you understood this pattern of the two works of sowing and reaping? First the natural, then the spiritual. I hope you understand this, and I hope it is profitable to you in understanding what Yahweh God is doing. Well, that's my hope concerning this natural versus spiritual. Has nothing to do with the fanciful ideas and the natural thinking of Christians. Nothing whatsoever. But it does have to do with the ways of Yahweh God and what he's going to accomplish today. The woman must encompass the man. You have to have a female work. You have to have the body of Christ work. You have to have a female work. This female work at the end, the Rachel, has nothing to do with Christianity because it comes out of the body of Christ. Just like Yahweh God took a rib out of Adam. In fact, let me just tell you what Yeshua told me in 1994. I asked him first. I said, why didn't they break your bones? He answered me. He said, because life comes from the blood. Blood comes from the bones. If they had broken my bones, it would have testified that I do not have the power of an indestructible life. After that, I asked him, so why did they pierce your side? He answered me, no man taught me this. Yahweh God taught me this. He told me, because the body of Christ must be put to sleep, its side opened, and out will come a bride. Folks, the body of Christ must be put to sleep. They will have their own resurrection later. They will have their own ascension later. But right now, this is the time of the bride. The two-part bride that encompasses the body of Christ. This is the two-part work. Those who are dead in Christ, the first remnant, and those who are alive and remain until the end. When the trumpet sounds, we ascend alive into heaven. We are there 15 days. Legally, we then receive our immortal, incorruptible bodies, and we come back with Emmanuel to rule and reign for 1,000 years. This is what the scriptures reveal to us. This is what Yahweh God has taught this man. This is what our hope truly is. And we look to the Father to fulfill his word. We give him praise. I hope this has been a help to you. And I hope that Yahweh will pour out his Spirit. He will complete the work that he began 2,000 years ago. At the original recording of this, I was in the process of closing. But someone contacted me and pointed out something, and I have to come back and add a P.S. to this message. I think it's very relevant. Let me explain. In 1994, when the Spirit came upon me, One of the major things that Yahweh dealt with me about was that there is the true remnant and there is the false remnant. The false remnant is the cream of Christianity. They think they're doing everything right, but they're a false remnant and they will fail. Versus the true remnant, which is remnant bride. It has to be a female work, and the false remnant really is just the cream of the crop out of Christianity, which I was at that time as well. And so I studied extensively this matter about the true remnant and the false remnant, and I've still got the notes from it. But I've never taught it or even mentioned it, really, since that time. And now I am faced with the reality of this contrast. Let me explain this. Someone listened to the podcast and they pointed out that Minneapolis, which is where Steve Jones is having their delayed Passover gathering, in contrast to ours, which is a delayed Passover as well. And the question is, who's right? Who is going to receive Yahweh God's blessings? Or you can say fulfillment. And so you have this conflict or this contest even going on. And they could not hold their meeting in Joplin, Missouri, which was in the heartland. And they had to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. You already know this from the podcast. But here's what I found out since then. Someone sent me an email after listening to the podcast and pointed out that Minneapolis is also called the Twin Cities. Now, that would be Minneapolis and St. Paul. Well, you had my attention at that point. St. Paul? I mean, here we have a false remnant of Christianity, and instead of meeting in Missouri, they're going to go to Twin Cities, St. Paul, and Minneapolis? Well, isn't that obviously Christianity, St. Paul, and Minneapolis? So I wondered, what does Minneapolis mean? And I looked it up. Minneapolis is actually a combination of two words. The word Minne is actually a Sioux Indian, the Sioux Indians. It's actually a word that they have for water. And polis is a Greek word for city. So Minneapolis means water city. Is a light bulb turning on for you? Here we see the testimony of Twin Cities, which would look to the fulfillment of the two remnant. And it means water city, but you also have St. Paul. It's obvious that this is a governmental testimony of Christianity's false remnant, where Paul Christianity is trying to bring forth the latter rain. And of course, they're meeting at the Double Tree Inn there in Minneapolis. So at Twin Cities with St. Paul and the Water City, and Steve Jones, the cream of the crop of Christianity, who was a part of the revelation when the Spirit came upon me in 1994, with Steve Jones preceding it. And Yahweh teaches me about the false remnant, and I've never addressed it since then. And here I am with this right in my face, with Steve Jones having a delayed Passover, I think for the first time ever, and they can't meet in Missouri at the Double Tree, and they're going to go to the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis? Isn't the test quite obvious what's going on here? It amazes me, especially since it was so meaningful to me in 1994 that there would be a false remnant. And I knew I was a part of that false remnant until August the 7th of 1994. And I saw that I was false remnant, and I cried out to God, and he delivered me. And here, 23 years later, we're faced with a test of Carmel that is really quite amazing. So I wanted to add this at the end of the podcast so that you can understand there's more going on here than what I thought whenever I first recorded the podcast. So now you know there's more to this test. There's more evidence concerning it. And it really is a test between whether it's going to be bride or Christianity. They get their opportunity first on May 12, 13, and 14. Then, of course, we have ours on May 31. And we will see if Yahweh is going to testify who's right. False remnant, Christianity, or the true remnant bride. We look to the Father. Now, for the very brief original closing. In the name of Yeshua, Amen.